Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray, producing and engineering the show today on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. Today is going to be, believe it or not, normal temperature-wise for our high anyway. We really got used to those 80s, up to mid-80s, but today around 71, and that's pretty much right where we should be for the end of February. I like the 70s, so I'm not going to be complaining too much. Very full hour of content as usual, beginning with longtime Tucson businessman Steve Christie. Mr. Christie now is a Republican candidate for Pima County Supervisor in District 4. That is the district where Supervisor Ray Carroll has served for 20 years, but Mr. Carroll announced earlier this month that he will be retiring at the end of the year. 20 past the hour, Tuesday Moneymaker Report, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman covering his face and giving me two thumbs down. That means the market is having another bad day. We had some good days, good run, but who knows? Followed by 12:30, Keith Rosenblum. Keith is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico. And then we'll close out the show with Visit Tucson. Dan Gibson will be with us. Our live line number is 790-2040 for your calls, questions, comments, and if you have a suggestion, we're open to that too. And we invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook. We're over 4,600 friends now on Facebook, so there's still room for more. We'd love to have you. In addition, we are doing Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome Steve Christie. Mr. Christie with me in studio. Steve, how are you?
I'm terrific, and it's always great to be with you. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Last time we talked, we were talking about transportation, and that's an area that's very near and dear to your heart, and I imagine will be a centerpiece of your campaign.
Well, yes, it will, Bill. And as you know, I spent the last 5 years serving as chairman and on the board of the State Transportation Board, along with the Regional Transportation Authority and the Pima Association of Governments. All those boards and all those entities dealt specifically with transportation issues. I sure learned a lot on the State Transportation Board about construction projects, about the intricacies of formulating transportation plans, and how they can benefit our region. I had a very successful run on that board and brought and secured a number of projects to Southern Arizona, and I want to take the same kind of approach and use the expertise and experience that I gained there, as well as the contacts that I have in transportation, in the transportation community, and bring them to Pima County. And that's going to be the focus point of my campaign, as well as my tenure on the board.
Many people who have been around Tucson a while recognize the name. Maybe they're saying, Steve Christie, that sounds really familiar. And, of course, Steve Christie Chrysler Jeep was a fixture in this town for a long time.
Yes, it was. And it's been, if you can believe it, going on 10 years since I sold that dealership. And to this day, it's really heartwarming to me. I'll be in some store or a checkout line, and somebody will see my name and they say, "Are you in relation to the fellow that had the Jeep dealership?" And they say, "Oh yeah." And then, that's been so long, and they still remember, and I still see license plates around the city of vehicles I sold, and that's something that I will always hold dear to my heart, because it goes so deep in my roots in the community. And you know, Bill, I always like to say, and my wife likes to remind me of it too, is that for going on 40 years, I met payroll, I paid my taxes, and I contributed to my community. And I think that is probably the best epitaph that I could get ever. So I appreciate you remembering that.
How about your background? Are you a native Arizonan?
Born and raised Tucsonan, born at TMC. Attended Sam Hughes and Mansfield Elementary Schools. My folks moved here from Ohio in 1950. I was born a few years after that. And they were divorced when I was an infant, and my mother remarried Ed Galloway, and that's another name I'm sure many of your listeners will remember. And I was raised in the automotive business. I loved it from the beginning, and I carried it out. And that was one of my dreams growing up, was to run Galloway Motors and eventually own it, which I did.
Well, one of the things, getting back to your run for supervisor, people say we've got to create jobs. How are we going to do that?
Well, first of all, harkening back to my automotive days, when you approach the sale of a vehicle or the product that you offer, one of the key elements that you have to use in that approach is it's all in the presentation. And Pima County has not been presenting itself in a business-friendly environment, in an environment that can contribute to growth and jobs. We have one of the best assets in the world, and that's our natural beauty, our wonderful weather. And you look at these poor businesses back in the Northeast and what they have to go through every year by being hammered by the snow, and you just want to say, why don't you come out here?
Yeah.
And they do come out here, and they do look here, and they test the winds of how government reacts to business and the regulations and the whole approach to business community and business development. And they leave with a profound sense that Pima County is not business friendly. It's basically like, well, if you want to open a business here, this is our book of regulations. You can follow them. If you don't want to follow them and you don't like it, then I guess we can't do business here. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And I don't think that I'm alone in that feeling. And I'm from the business community, and there has been a sense of frustration for many years in the business community because they don't have a voice in government. And if I could give you just one example.
Sure.
If you take all of the combined years of quote-unquote experience and service of the current board members and the county administrator, and you total them all up, it would come up to combine some almost 90 years. And not one of those years did any one of those members or the county administrator spend owning and operating their own business. And you wonder then why the business community is so frustrated. If there's an issue, if there's a problem, if there's an opportunity, they have no one to go to. They have no one who can take up their cause. They can have no one that can champion what they're reaching out for. I want to be that voice. I am that voice.
So their background is government, and yours is business.
Their background is primarily public sector or government funded or sponsored sector. I have nothing but business background, owning my own business, operating my own business for 40 years in this community. And as I say, paying taxes, meeting payroll, and contributing to my community.
And what about the situation with the legislature?
In terms of?
Not as they look at Pima County, and it's not real friendly to them.
You know, you don't even get a phone answered or a door opened when you mention Pima County up there. And that's one of the things that I think I have as far as an attribute with my connections on my state transportation board. I made a lot of contacts in the state capitol in those 5 years. And one thing that I think that the state legislature feels is when they try to do anything down here in the county, there's some sort of a combative element. I've sold cars for 40 years all over this valley. I can get along with anybody. I know everybody. And my job is to be able to bring communities together, to bring political beliefs together, to collaborate with as many different organizations and neighborhoods and communities and regions as much as possible to try to gain some kind of a foothold where we can work together and not create this divisiveness that we don't not only see on the Board of Supervisors, but in the region and with the state capitol.
And what about major policy decisions? Where should that come from? Should it come from the supervisors or staff?
Well, obviously, the voters of Pima County didn't vote for the staff, and I think that's one of the issues that we have. I like to chide them by saying they're not a Board of Supervisors, they're a Board of Spectators. And it seems to me that we're lacking proactive leadership on the board, and someone who can, who knows the issues, who knows what the community is reaching for, asking for, particularly the business community. That's where the generation of energy should come from, is from the board and the initiative of the board, and not to stand back and let things happen. They need to create things and make them happen.
This is a very wide open district, in as far as it's a large district.
It is a very large district.
Could you kind of go over that for us?
It runs probably the eastern third of the metro area, mm-hmm. all the way up to the foothills, and then over Mount Lemmon, and then out to Vail, and then down to Sahuarita and Green Valley, all the way to the Cochise County border. It's a huge and very beautiful district.
So you got rural areas and metropolitan areas. You have senior areas.
It's a total mix of our society, and I would venture to say that's why it's such an attractive place for anyone to move to.
Steve Christie, thank you very much. You have a website.
I do. SteveChristieForSupervisor.com.
SteveChristieForSupervisor.com.
Yeah, we're getting it put together, and we've got a lot of good information going up here shortly, and even as we speak.
Okay, is that a four spelled out, or the numeral?
No, four.
Okay, the four. All right. Mr. Christie, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Bill.
All right, this portion of the Buckmaster Show has been brought to you by Green Things, my favorite nursery. Man, that is such a beautiful facility over there off of River Road. They have, used to be 4 acres. They've now expanded to 13 acres. They've got 33 greenhouses. It's just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. Look for Jan, the owner over there. Jan and Jack own Green Things. I've been going there for years. Get all my roses there. They've done very well. And the reason they do so well, they were grown right at Green Things. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, the other day I went out in my garage and I saw a cockroach on his back, just the way I like to view a cockroach. And just before he expired, he looked up at me and said, "The Five Star Technician got me." Adios, cucaracha.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'll tell you who I'm consulting with right now, certified financial planner Shelly Fishman. Shelly, good to see you. Hope the week is off to a decent start.
Yeah,
if I had asked you this 24 hours ago, you would have said, Bill, we're doing real well. Today, the market is,
well, down about 150 now. We're moving back in the right direction, but it's Tuesday, and you know, Bill.
Yeah, it must be the day that oil prices also are declining.
Down 4%. And
they were up like 6%.
Yeah, you know, it's... And if you talk to theoreticians, if you talk to people who are economists and have for years studied the market, there should not be a direct correlation between the price of commodities, and oil, of course, is a commodity, and the movement of the market. In fact, there's good logical arguments you could make why those things should be negatively correlated. Unfortunately, you know, academic disciplines from the past just don't seem to apply almost in the past 30 years.
Should you jump in at this point? Does it look like
question.
The correction is over?
I think the correction is over. Oh, God, I just went out on a limb.
Oh, boy. prediction.
Yeah, I think the correction is over. I think we're going to have a lot of volatility just because of the fact that it's an election year and things are so closely tied around the world, and especially to commodities. But I think there are ways, especially if you've been sitting on the sidelines or if you have a large cash position, I think there are several ways you can get back in that, again, depending upon your personal circumstances and risk tolerance and the things that, you know, my recorded announcement is forced to say, that there are some ways to get into this market right now, such that you're not sitting there literally at, you know, zero interest rates with cash under the pillow or even in a bank.
All right. Couple of calls on hold, Shelly. Let's go to John first.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Hello. First, I wanted to welcome Green Things to the Buckmaster Nation. Welcome, Green Things.
Thank you.
Second, I wanted to ask Shelly, last week, I believe Janet Yellen had some testimony or in the news, they talked about Janet Yellen, and there was some mention of negative interest rates. I was wondering if you could explain what a negative interest rate is and whether that is a policy that just relates to banks as it relates to the central bank, or is that a policy that can then trickle down to, you know, regular depositors and things like that?
Well, I don't think anytime soon any bank that you walk into is going to pay you and they do a negative interest rate. What Yellen was talking about was in response to a question about the European Central Bank, which has actually moved in that direction as a matter of policy. And the central banks are controlling very, very short-term interest rates. In other words, essentially the interest rate that banks charge each other to lend and borrow money overnight. And when interest rates have been held as low as they have for so long, what happens is that central banks run out of ammunition. Now, the theoretical flaw for an interest rate, if you just think about it logically, would be zero. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way it's working right now. In Europe, we're beginning to see, both as a practical matter and as a policy matter, the need for additional stimulus, and negative interest rates is what they're talking about. With the Fed interest rates now being very close to zero, I know we've raised them a quarter of a point, but I think what Yellen was responding to was, would we follow suit if that was the only quiver, the only arrow left in her quiver? And, I think she said she'd have to consider it. When you're out of ammunition, you start throwing rocks.
Right. All right. 790-20.
Great question, by the way.
Yeah,
thank you.
790-2040. Thank you, John. Very good question. Hitch is up next. Hey, Hitch.
Hi. Mine is kind of a tax question. I invest like $1,000 or $2,000 in different funds, and don't ask me why. But over the years, one of my funds was taken over by one company, and then it was taken over by another. And then I got a letter that said they turned my money, which grew to $7,500. Bad over to Arizona unclaimed money for whatever reason. Now, when I redeem that money, what do I do with it so it's not taxable? I just want to put it back into my retirement fund.
Okay. Hitch, I don't have a clue. Huh. That is a very unique situation. In other words, what's happened is for whatever reason, they thought that your account was abandoned, was turned over to the state. You're going to raise your hand and say, whoa, stop. Yeah. That's my money. I want it. You're probably going to have to prove that it's your money. I assume you can. My guess from a tax perspective is that the state of that money prior to it going to Arizona is how it would be regarded for tax purposes. But, and now I give you my recorded announcement, I do not do tax consulting.
May I?
You absolutely must talk to your tax attorney or CPA.
And that's where I was going to put in a plug for Michael C. Flowers.
There you go.
Hitch, definitely call Michael C. Flowers and just tell him that I sent you, and I'm very, very 99% certain that Michael will have an answer to your question.
Sure.
Yeah.
But Hitch brings up something that comes up with between me and my clients all the time, and that's the question of what documentation should I keep? When I get stuff in the mail, a client will say, what do I keep? What do I throw away? What's the legal, responsibility for keeping this stuff? Do I really need to get this stuff in the mail? Can I go with electronic statements? And those are very troubling questions because so much of this information, when it comes either via email or in the mail, looks very official and very important, and so often it's just not.
And that's why they want it to make it. They want whoever sending it wants to give the perception, hey, this is important stuff.
But if you have a statement, in other words, you have an account somewhere and you get statements, my advice is keep the annual statement at the end of the year for at least 7 years. Just hold on to it. It's 1, 2, 3 pages, whatever it is. Hold. You don't have to keep the 1099 stuff if you don't want to. But the annual statement, that last December 31st statement, throw away all the other quarterly statements prior in the year and keep that annual statement and hold on to it for as long as your drawer space will let you. And then each quarter when you get a statement, hold on to that statement until the end of the year and then dump the quarterly statements.
But the year-end one, keep
the year-end
for
7 years.
The
year-end one, keep. And certainly anything that establishes proof that that's your account, your name, your Social Security number, et cetera.
All right, Shelley, so we're going to wrap this up. Good questions from Hitch and John. And so as far as testing the bottom of this market, we seem to be very close.
I think so. And for getting back in, if you're getting back into fixed income, into the bond market, I would go with quality right now. Don't get too greedy. Go with the general bond market or even with treasuries. You can buy treasury funds that track the 20- or 30-year bonds, and they're not going to pay you an awful lot of interest, but at least you know there's some safety
cushion
there.
Yeah.
If you're getting back into equities, go for quality, and that quality can be on the European side or on the worldwide side or on the U.S. side, but go for quality. I would not be very highly risked at this point. It's just too volatile.
Shelley, have a great week. Thank you very much.
Bill.
And we can find more about Shelley by going to buckmastershow.com.
You bet. Hit the link. And
there you go.
And I respond.
You do. Thanks, Shelley.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
the Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review, plus Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a newsmaker interview with U.S. Senator John McCain. Also, world-renowned comet discoverer Dr. David Levy. That's Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Silver City truly is New Mexico, and you can find so many things to do in the area, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, hike the Gila National Forest, swim in the Gila River, relax in a hot spring, or just visit Silver City's historic downtown with its galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Places to stay, got you covered. Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, Georgetown Cabins, just a couple of the 24 places to stay. The full listing of places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the Buckmaster contributor on the border, Keith Rosenblum. Keith writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He has covered the border for various publications, including the Arizona Republic and the Arizona Daily Star. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I've been covering that border since before there were two nations that shared it. Just in case there's any question in your listeners' minds about my role, I want you to present as being kind of your regional oracle of Delphus.
When did you first visit Mexico? How were you just young pup?
When I went to Northwestern, I decided that I should see what's south of the United States, and so I took a bus in August from Mexicali. I was in Berkeley visiting family, and I took a bus from Mexicali on the border with Calexico, and I took that to Mexico City. It's about a 1,400-mile trip, and then I took another bus to Cuernavaca, which is another hour and a half, and I stayed in Cuernavaca to learn a little bit of the language. And then when I came to work for the Daily Star, after 2 years in the newsroom, I just got bored, and so I asked Frank Johnson, who was then the managing editor, if I could go do my own internship in Mexico somewhere. And at that time, Leila Catan, who was writing a column for the Star then and was working for Imparcial, said, "Well, hey, there's a newspaper that would probably be happy to receive you to set up your own internship program." And so I did. I spent several months at Imparcial newspaper, and that was the start of a career that's been languishing ever since.
A long-time love affair. Keith, I think one of the most significant stories about Mexico, I mean, we could talk about the recent warnings that have been issued, again, from the State Department, but I think I would rather begin by talking about the direct flights to Guaymas that are coming, Tucson to Guaymas. I think this is really good news, and it's been 8 years in the making, and that should start this summer, we hope.
The stunning thing to me is that no major airline has stepped in itself. That is, you can get to Sonora, you can get from Phoenix to Hermosillo, if you don't mind spending $300 and doing it once a day, or you can fly from Tucson, go to Phoenix, and then take a flight and spend the same $300 and turn it into a six-hour trip instead of the 4 hours it would be by ground.
So
there's a lot of weird, really is a... It's very much an Alice in Wonderland scenario when it comes to air service in. And I used to take at Tucson Airport, you could go to the international wing at that time, which has now been converted into kind of a CBP, a Customs Border Protection annex. Mm-hmm. And you would have 200 and some odd people, 250 people waiting for for the two Aeromexico flights. One was to Hermosillo, then to, I think, Mochis, Culiacán, Guadalajara, Mexico City. And the other one was to Guaymas, and Guaymas, La Paz, Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
And Aeromexico made the brilliant decision of moving its operations to Phoenix, and now they're not even there at all. So it basically backfired when they moved there. But is the demand here? Yes. And so you have this gentleman in San Carlos, whom you've talked to before, I think, who's been doing everything he can to put it together and have it be under four or five times a week, and is looking very good. And then you also have the state of Sonora entertaining two regular airlines. One is called TAR, Transportes Aéreos Regionales, which is based in Guadalajara, and now serves Hermosillo Airport, and they're thinking of making not their foray, but their second destination in the United States would be Tucson. They're in McAllen right now, McAllen, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they've gotten their feet wet doing something in the international realm. They're secure in looking to open more destinations. Again, it's not the big planes like Aeromexico had, or the DC-9s or the 727s, but it would be the 50-passenger in that area, the business, what do they call them, the big commuter aircraft.
Well, I can remember flying with an airline called Aero California. This would have been maybe 88.
Yes.
In 1988, 89, we flew Tucson, La Paz. Then we drove down to Cabo on that particular trip. I think the flight actually went to Tucson, Guaymas, because we did a Guaymas trip too. Then it went on to La Paz. And then I think on to Mexico City.
You know, and they were in their own world, they were very successful. Not a lot of people remember Aero California. They were based, of all places, in La Paz, Baja California, and then they became national. They got capital from somewhere, became a national airline. And then I don't know what it was that finally put them under, but they started off as being actually they were taking fishermen on Cessnas up and down Baja. You know, Baja's 1,000 miles from Tijuana to Los Cabos. And so there's plenty of places along the way where you want to take, and then you also want to hop over from the mainland. Aside from going down Baja from California, you also want to be able to hop around from places like Mazatlan or Culiacan or Los Mochis on the mainland side. You want to be able to hop over into Baja. It's only at some places it's only a 50 or 60 mile jump over the water.
Mm-hmm.
And your other option, by the way, is to do it on there's ferries at a couple places along in the Sea of Cortez there. But it's amazing just how well-linked we are in the U.S. from one destination, from one place to another, and how poorly all of the international links are today. And I think Sky Harbor did a study that showed that there were something in the order of 20 or 30 buses a day, multiply it by 30 or 40 people, going by ground every day into Sonora, a place like Hermosillo or Guaymas. And, if you just took a fraction of those people and said, hey, would you pay $100 or $150 to go by air and save yourself 6 hours and all the hassles of dealing with things at the ports of entry, would you do that? You could fill two or three planes a day and easily have daily service from Tucson, if you could capture that little itty bitty part of the market.
Well, I think there's tremendous pent up demand for that service, and I don't know if as my memory recalls it, I think Aeromexico had probably gotten out of the market when Aero California was doing
those
flights.
That's correct.
Yeah,
Aero California filled the gap that Aeromexico left behind.
Right,
that's correct.
Well, there's been this gap, and they're going to be using, as you say, 50-seat Bombardier CRJ-200. These are regional jets, and I hope it's four times a week. That's what the initial plan is. I think it will be successful, and I think they could probably up that to a daily flight.
I think it will be from day one, and here's the key from somebody who's been praying for air service. It has to be, if not daily, at minimum, it has to be really five times a week, because you can't offer Guaymas or Hermosillo or Obregón, you can't offer those as being twice a week service. That's what you do to destinations in the middle of nowhere. You know, if you're going to take somebody to rural Jamaica or to Cancun or something, okay, that's fine. But you have such a diverse group of people who need to travel into northern Mexico. You have the maquilas, the twin plant people. You have tourists. You have people that just want to go on to get to places like Mochis or Alamos or Culiacan, so they get a head start by jumping, by saving themselves, you know, 6 hours at the wheel, and again, all the hassles that involve in crossing the border. So it would be ideal to so many constituencies, but if you offer it only two or three times a week, it's like my brain isn't programmed to look at, you know, going on Thursday and coming down on a Monday and all that kind of stuff. It has to be, the mentality is going to have to be daily, or very close to daily anyway.
We didn't really have much time to talk about this newest Mexico travel warning. Do you want to say anything about that?
I will. I'll reiterate, they're all a waste of time. And as I get older and more cynical and more, I realize that they're just bogus. They should be ignored completely, and we should turn our own quizzing, interrogation techniques on the people who are issuing the orders. It is safer to wake up today anywhere in Mexico, go through your normal activities, go to sleep, and get up the next morning than it is anywhere in the United States. A travel warning, and if you read the travel warnings, which I do, they pretty much say, don't go into known drug trafficking areas. Don't do it's the most sophomoric and, just condescending. It's basically to say to the American people, if anything ever happens to you, you've been forewarned. Nothing has happened. There is no precedent for it. There have been no Americans caught in any crossfire in Sonora in anyone's history. If there have been, who have happened to be Mexican or American citizens who have been in any kind of trouble at all, it's because they went hunting for it. That's all. The idea of anything being random is outlandish.
Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. I'll try to get you on every month for sure. Thank you, Keith.
My pleasure, Bill. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum. He talks about Mexico, and he knows about what he talks because this guy's been to Mexico for many, many years, and he's a good contributor to the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here. Another good contributor, Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson. He should be next for us.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by the highly anticipated opening of Janos Wilder's Carriage House. That's going to be the opening, the big opening coming up this Saturday at Janos Wilder's Carriage House in downtown. 100-year-old building completely restored at 146 East Broadway. Really beautiful space, beautiful wood floors, the original brick walls. Much of the building retaining the touches of its original space, and Chef Wilder will be giving the first class at this new special events venue and cooking school this Saturday at 11 a.m. Teaching was one of the prime motivators for Janos to open up the Carriage House. His class is celebrating Tucson's designation as a UNESCO City of Gastronomy. So there'll be a variety of classes offered year-round at Carriage House. You can check it out, what they're doing, and their online registration at carriagehouse.com. Let's welcome now from Visit Tucson, Mr. Dan Gibson. And I know Dan is excited about Janos with this new cooking school.
Yeah, absolutely. Not just a school, too. They'll have dim sum on Sundays. So. If you don't feel like learning anything, I mean, you know, which is a positive thing too, but they're going to do a sort of a funky take on dim sum with food from all around the world and Janos' diverse and fascinating influences. So something to look forward there too.
We are very happy to have Janos and Carriage House as our newest sponsor along with Green Things. Got to ask you about the winter season, Dan. What are the numbers showing, preliminary numbers? This is our prime time. How has the winter been?
It's been good so far. I mean, obviously, really strong gem show and probably, you know, with more shows than ever and, more shows since the recession. And just, you know, really positive response with that. Major League Soccer is finishing up their preseason now, which has had one of the bigger responses. And then you go right into the Tucson Invitational Games, which is starting, I think, next weekend, with teams coming from all over the country, college baseball and softball teams doing their preseason activities. So it's been a busy season so far, and really positive numbers on the end of occupancy is up and the amount that people are paying for rooms. So not quite as strong as last year. Last year was a bigger jump, but it's all positive stuff so far.
So you've got Rodeo Week, then March you've got several big events. So it really continues at least for another 6 weeks with the big stuff.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously the Festival of Books is a big deal and a lot of people come here for that. And It's pretty relentless. I mean, it's a good time to be in tourism, but there's certainly a lot going on. If you can't find something to do one of these weekends, I'm not sure you're looking very hard.
We just spent a few minutes with Keith Rosenblum, who covers the border for us, very excited about the air service between the direct air service coming this summer. That's going to bring a lot of Mexican visitors up from Guaymas, San Carlos area.
Yeah, it absolutely changed. It's a game changer in a lot of ways because it does open up a lot of like business travel and leisure travel as well, and sometimes a combination of the two. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely any air service additions are a definite plus. And I'm, you know, when we've talked about around here, it looks like that flight will stay pretty busy all the time.
Arts, of course, a big component. This is not only prime time for tourism, it's prime time for our art season. A couple of items that you would like to point out, Dan, this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the Contreras Gallery, they have a show that's finishing up. It's called the Desert Triangle Print Carpeta. I'm not sure what a carpeta is. I probably should have looked that up. But there'll be 30 printmakers from Tucson, El Paso, Albuquerque, so all over the Southwest. They're doing these large-scale prints in different styles. You know, they're doing letterpress and screen print, things like that. That runs only through the 27th, so you can kind of hustle up. But that's at Contreras Gallery at 110 East 6th Street. You can find them online at ContrerasHouseOfFineArt.com. One of the greatest movies of all time is showing Wednesday and Saturday in beautiful 70mm at the Loft. They did their first 70mm screening maybe a couple weeks ago with 2001 A Space mm-hmm. Odyssey, but they're mm-hmm. showing Lawrence of Arabia. Which is a gorgeous movie in itself, but 70mm, for you people who do not know, a lot of movies, when they're shown on film, are shown in 35mm. 70mm was sort of ruined by television in a way when people were making these big epic movies. And there's actually more information on the frame than there is on a Blu-ray.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a crisper, it's a brighter film, it's just a richer, more... It's a very immersive sort of experience. That's showing Wednesday the 24th at 6 p.m., or you can see it Saturday the 27th at noon, and you can find out more information about all those films at loftcinema.com. Also, they've got some great Oscar movies that are showing there now, so if you want to get ready for this weekend's Oscar ceremonies, good place to do so. I know you love The Fox.
I love The Fox. They normally sponsor twice a month segments. This month it's just once a month, but next month we go back to twice. But what's going on at The Fox?
Well, UA Presents has a great show there this Sunday. Did you ever see the French animated film Triplets of Belleville from a few years ago?
No, I didn't.
I think you'd love it. It's a really charming, fun film. They're showing it at the Fox with a score by the person who did the orchestration and wrote the score for the film itself. He has a group called Les Terribles Orchestra de Belleville. And so it's 20s, the sort of sounds of 20s Paris. It's hot jazz. Sort of Django Reinhardt inspired stuff. And so it's this whole sort of great experience. You get to see a live jazz orchestra and you get to see this great film. It's at 7 p.m. at the Fox. You can get more information at uapresents.org. So, I mean, that's pretty solid stuff in itself. I would say also Tucson Museum of Art has two great new shows that have opened up. Ai Weiwei, who many people know, Chinese dissident artist who was just recently released from prison, is able to travel. He has a show called Circle of Animals there, which is sort of these zodiac sculptures made out of gold. It's pretty provocative stuff. But also they have a show there called Into the Night, which is modern and contemporary art about the night, you know, about the themes of darkness and the city as it sleeps and things like that. That's at Tucson Museum of Art.
Speaking of TMA, they announced today a new director.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's a big day for art. You also have the Center for Creative Photography announced their director as well.
So, oh, really?
Everybody's getting hired. Everybody's getting jobs.
I didn't see that one. This new director coming from Miami-Dade County at TMA.
Yeah, it's a lot of big shoes to fill, but they're doing really great shows there at Tucson Museum of Art. So tough to follow up Robert Knight, but I'm sure with Jerry, I'm not going to even make a stab at that last name.
There you go.
I'll learn it eventually. Jeremy.
Don't have the news release in front of me, but they did have the foresight to phonetically spell it out, and it is a little bit of a tongue twister.
We'll learn it together.
Yeah. This whole city of Tucson becoming the UNESCO City of Gastronomy, I think this is going to pay dividends happens, and there's going to be a lot of fallout for this, positive fallout for years.
Oh, for sure. It's already, it's a great thing to talk about. And I know you know, as, mm-hmm. you know, journalists, one of the first thing people ask always is like, so what's new? You know, what new thing do you have? And it's a great conversation starter on that end. But also the people who are involved in this project are really ambitious about, you know, making connections to other cities of gastronomy, other creative cities in general. Talking to Janos, he's excited about working with the people from Ensenada, which is also a creative city of gastronomy. I think it'll just bring in more attention, more bright minds in that field, conferences. It's going to be a good thing all the way around.
Okay, Dan Gibson, thank you very much. People can find out more about Visit Tucson. We may have some winter visitors listening to this very radio program. They can go to visittucson.com. Would that be the place?
.org.
Oh, my goodness.
.com probably gets you there as well. Yeah, check out it. We have a new visitor's guide. It's beautiful. Lots of great information on our website.
Yeah, you probably own the domain to... .com as well, but I don't know that.
I suspect so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Dan, thank you very much. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
Dan Gibson with us from Visit Tucson. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Tomorrow morning, we're going to do 4 hours of local talk. 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson. Chris and Joe, The Daily Double from 8 to 9. Sean McCluskey, 9 to 10. His program is called Talk of the Town. I'm back at 12:04. My program, My Last Name, Buckmaster. We'll be back with you midweek edition. And my producer-engineer, Ray Allen, also wishing you a lovely afternoon and evening. Back tomorrow.